Let's turn in God's Word to three different portions this evening. They're all in the same book. The book of John, John's Gospel. The fourth Gospel in the New Testament, John's Gospel. And first of all, John's Gospel, chapter 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1. And then we'll look at John chapter 6 and John chapter 12. John's Gospel, chapter 1, and the verse 35. Again, the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. And if you look at John chapter 6, and the verse 5, we read, When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And then look at John chapter 12, where we read of the Lord's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. We read John chapter 12 in the verse 20 to 22. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And we trust the Lord will bless his word, those passages of scripture to our hearts. And we know that as we open his book, he will speak to us. And we trust that his name will be glorified this afternoon. Let's turn again to our Bibles this afternoon, this evening. To John chapter 1, John's Gospel chapter 1. I'm making sure this recording is on. I think it is. The red light's on. Yeah, it's ready to go. Made a few mistakes, didn't record this morning. I'll be getting throughout. John chapter 1, and with our Bibles open, let's pray. You ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to speak to you. And We trust the Lord will bless us. Lord, we thank Thee for Your open word. We thank You, Lord, for its truth. We thank You, Lord, for its instruction. We thank You, Lord, that it is sound doctrine. And Lord, we know that if we follow after Thy word, we will be instructed in righteousness. We will be corrected to follow the right paths, and corrected to turn away from those things that we shouldn't follow. We will be encouraged to follow after Christ, our Saviour, Jesus. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt ever help us to keep our eyes fixed on Christ. As we thought about the lame man this morning, he got his eyes on the Lord, and he got to the temple of God, and as he got into the temple of God, there he prayed. He went to seek the face of the Lord. As we thought about David's prayer to go into the sanctuary, that was his desire, to go into the house of God, that he may see or behold the beauty of the Lord. We pray tonight, Lord, that as we have come together, Lord, that we will see the beauty of the Lord. And we pray, Father, we will be stirred up in our souls to serve Christ and to follow Him and Him alone. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sure you can picture the scene in John's Gospel, chapter 1, that first chapter, those few verses that we read together, where John the Baptist is with his two disciples. And they're standing and they're watching Jesus. It says in verse 36, looking upon Jesus as he walked. So they were looking at him. They were watching him. They were watching this man, Jesus, walking. And as they're standing and watching in amazement, John cries out at the end of verse 36. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God." These two disciples then that are with John, one of them, which is Andrew, the other one, some interpreters might say that it was Thomas, but it's unclear just exactly who that other disciple was, but Andrew is one of them. And these two disciples leave John quickly, and they follow Jesus. We read in verse 37, the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. They followed Jesus. So, as they follow the Lord, and I trust you're following the Lord. Are you following the Lord? As these two disciples follow the Lord, we read in verse 38, that Jesus asked them, Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" What seek ye? He's asking them, "What do you want? What are you looking for? What is it that you're desiring?" And these disciples really turn back with a question, if you like, which is an answer as well. They asked him at the end of verse 38, "Where dwellest thou?" Where do you live? Where do you live? So, of course, the Lord knows that they want to know where he lives. And these two men, we can say they're keen to follow the Lord. They're keen to follow him wherever he is going to. They wanted to go home with him, I'm sure, to understand who this Christ was and learn more of him. And the wonderful thing is, in this passage is where Christ says in verse 39, "Come and see. Come and see." That's a wonderful, wonderful invitation to the lost. Are you saved tonight? If you're not saved, Christ opens through his word tonight. He offers himself to you. Come and see. Trust in him by faith. Receive him as your Saviour. Well, of course, as we've been thinking, as we move on, we know that the Lord knew all about these men, these two disciples. He did ask them what they wanted, but he knew. But I'm sure he was trying to see how keen they were to follow the Lord. He wanted to hear them say, "Where dwellest thou?" He wanted to see their interest in following him, having that desire to go through with him. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have gone that evening back with the Lord to where he was dwelling that evening? If you think about it, listening to the Son of God in person, in his humanity, we read those words in Hebrews chapter 2 and the verse 14 and 16, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. We see in verse 16, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. And there you see the humanity of Christ, how he has taken on our flesh and blood, yet without sin. But wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to witness the ministry of the Lord and his person on the earth? The one who had came to fulfill all the prophecies. He had came and fulfilled them and to do with his person and his work on the cross at Calvary. This Messiah who was prophesied to come into the world to take away sin, he was the fulfillment of it, of those prophecies. And God revealing himself through the person of Jesus. What a wonderful, wonderful thing it must have been to sit with the Lord. A little bit of background about Andrew. That is what we want to think about tonight, as I'll state in a minute. But Andrew, he grew up in a little town called Bethsaida. Bethsaida. And if you look at the map, you might have one in the back of your Bible. Bethsaida is at the north of the Sea of Galilee. It's a little town. And he grew up there with Peter, as we know him, Simon Peter. And Andrew and Peter were the sons of Jonah. And it's believed that they had a fishing business in that area. It was one of the key trade routes for the fishing industry. So we can see how they had a good job and everything was going well for them. They were young, they were fit, I'm sure they were healthy, maybe not the father, maybe he was getting on in a few years. But these young men, they were trying to make a good living. The name Andrew, a little bit about his name, it means manly. Manly. And that describes what sort of character Andrew is in the Bible. It describes how he is bold, how he is important, and how he was purposeful. And we will see that, all of this, as we learn more about him. And we want to think about particularly Andrew tonight, in regards to how he brought individuals to Christ. Andrew bringing valued individuals to Christ. And we can see, first of all, in this chapter 1, that Andrew was a home missionary. He was a home missionary. As soon as Andrew found Christ, he couldn't wait to get telling others about the Lord. And that's one of the things about Andrew, as we will see. He couldn't wait to get telling others about this man Jesus that he had met after he left John the Baptist. And the first person, it's very interesting, the first person he goes to tell his brother Peter. That's who he goes to tell about this man Jesus. His own brother, Peter. And we can notice there that his family came first. Isn't that right? His family came first. He started at home. Look at verse 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And Christ is the anointed one, the one that the Jews longed for, and those that trusted in him. And it says in verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, and he continues to say that, we'll look at that in a little moment, but we see that Andrew brought his brother to Jesus. He started at home. Isn't that interesting? You know, I don't know if I could give much advice and encouragement about witnessing in the home. One of the hardest things, I believe, is to witness in the home, whether it's to children. Maybe, I don't know about this, but maybe some of the parents not see it. What about grandparents, brothers and sisters? It's difficult. Family can be the hardest people to reach for Christ. It's easy to perhaps cause offence. It can be very... home is the place where a lot of friction can be caused if you don't get on. And so we can hesitate because we can be afraid of driving them further away. So it is difficult. But we can be encouraged, I believe, through Andrew bringing Peter to Christ. Why do I say that? Well, whenever Andrew brought Peter to Christ, he was handing him over to the Lord. He was leaving him in the hands of the Lord. But Peter went on to be a great preacher, a preacher of the gospel. We read in the book of Acts. Turn it to it with me. Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, We read in the book of Acts that Peter preached on this day in Acts chapter 2 to thousands of people. Acts chapter 2, read verse 38. It says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Isn't this a wonderful thing? Here is Peter. This is way into the future a few years into the future after the death of Christ. And he's preaching the message of Jesus. He's sharing with people this man Jesus who he was brought to by his own brother. He's going on to preach to thousands of people. I'm sure you know of Peter. You've read of him, how he was weak even when Christ was on earth during his earthly ministry. He failed in many different aspects. And I did say I would look at that verse and just mention it briefly in John chapter 1 and that verse 42, where the Lord said to Peter, "Thou art Simon the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. This was at the beginning where Peter came to the Lord. And obviously the Lord knew, and of course he did, he is omniscient, he is all-knowing, and he knew that Peter would stumble early on in his faith. But what the Lord was saying to Peter here was that one day, Peter, you'll be called Cephas. You'll become a stone. You'll become firm. And this is what I believe the Lord was speaking of whenever Peter stood up with boldness after those years where he was stumbled and he fell in some ways. He denied the Lord. But here he is. He's standing up for the Lord. He's preaching the gospel. Do you see how the Lord works? It has worked even in this family. It's a wonderful thing. I read a little book about Hudson Taylor one time. Hudson Taylor was a missionary to China, a great missionary to China. He did a lot of work. He planted a lot of missionary stations, and a lot of missionaries were encouraged to be missionaries. People were encouraged to be missionaries as a result of his work out there for the Lord. Before he was born, his parents prayed, "Lord, give us a child who will go to China. Give us a child who will go to China to be a missionary. We're dedicating our children." Before they were even born, they dedicated their children to the Lord, and they asked for one of their children to become a missionary to China. And the Lord answered that prayer, and he became a man who went to minister in the land of China. Do you see how the Lord can answer prayer? And I suppose the only thing I can encourage you is, and myself, as we're praying for family members who are unsaved, whether they are children or parents or grandparents or brothers or sisters, we can pray for them. We can hold them up before the Lord, and we can encourage them through our witness, through the witness that we have in Christ. They will see the example of Christ within us. As they see our desire and devotion towards the Lord, that can speak to them. That can encourage them to come to know the Lord. They'll perhaps, maybe at times, get down. They'll be, on some occasions, perhaps in their sin, they will be, they'll seem far, distant. They'll have no satisfaction. And perhaps they might look at you as a believer. And they might see that person, that family member of mine, is something that I don't have. And that's a wonderful, encouraging thing. We can continue to live for the Lord. And that's why we must keep pure testimony. Keep our testimonies pure. And as we walk with the Lord, be those examples to our children, to our family members. And we trust that the Lord will speak to them. So Andrew, he was a home missionary. Think of Andrew in John chapter 6 now. Go over to John chapter 6. We can see there that where Jesus fed the few thousand that were gathered. John chapter 6. Andrew, he also brought people to Christ in order to help practically. So Andrew helped practically behind the scenes. And this is what we see here, helping practically behind the scenes. We've read here as well of a multitude gathered to hear Christ preach. And there's a crisis. There is a problem. It's a familiar crisis that we have heard of, I'm sure. Those of us that know the Word of God, we've come across this passage before, the feeding of the 5,000, where a crowd, it's believed of, that was 5,000 men, but it's believed to be perhaps an estimate figure of over 10,000 because of extra women and children. So there are several thousand here, and they've come to hear Christ preach, and they're hungry, and there's no food. This is the crisis. And again, and here, Philip is on the scene. Philip, he came to be a disciple of the Lord just after Andrew and the other disciple that was with Andrew. And Christ tests Philip, or he asks him a question in verse 5. He said at the end of verse 5 to Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Christ knew well what Philip would answer, because we read in verse 6, "This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do." So he knew what would be going on in Philip's mind. Philip, it's believed that he was a man of practical common sense. He was very mathematical, working things out, as far as commentators show through the Word of God. But Philip replies in verse 7. He answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little." Perhaps Philip doubted here the powerful workings of the Lord. Perhaps he doubted that the Lord could do a work through just that small substance of money that they had left. He seemed to doubt in some ways, even though he was a man